Welcome to the Commerce Talks podcast. Today, my guest is Yannis Statis from Shopflix. That's a marketplace in Greece, a new marketplace, which is unheard of in this day when usually Amazon, Shein, AliExpress is dominating the marketplace landscape. But Yannis was brave enough with his team to build something new. So the Shopflix team went out for this endeavor to create a full-fledged marketplace under the name of Shopflix, which is already number two in the Greek market. And we are talking in this podcast about the Greek market structure, why Amazon is not so active in Greece, and what's next for Shopflix. So please enjoy. Yannis, welcome to the Commerce Talks podcast today in Berlin at the Kulturbrauerei. We're going to have like the Spryker Excite tomorrow, and you just arrived as one of our guests. And I'd like to take the opportunity to understand the Greek e-commerce market a bit better because you've started a marketplace kind of business model there quite a while ago based on Spryker. Can you tell us, please, who you are and what your marketplace is called and how it's working?
First of all, thank you, Alexander, for inviting me here. It's very nice in beautiful Berlin, I would say. I'm Yannis. I'm the CEO of Shopflix, which is basically a marketplace based on Spryker platform, as you said. So we are one of the newest marketplaces in Greece right now. We were founded in 2021. We're actually right now in the fourth year of operation. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, you know, like throughout basically the years, we have kind of like ramped up quite fast. So we host right now a bit more than 2,500 sellers on our platform and a bit more than 12 million offers as well on the platform. In terms of kind of like the business model, it's like an online marketplace. We're fully online marketplace, which is kind of like we have, as you know, in the ecosystem, we have the sellers from one side and also kind of like the consumers from the other side. And all the transaction basically happens on our platform.
Yeah.
Very regular, I would say, very usual, but then we're trying to differentiate ourselves within the Greek market with some notches.
Can you tell us a bit more, while I'm checking the equipment, can you tell us a bit more about the Greek market? Because I haven't seen such a project like in the German-speaking markets or close by for years, that somebody is like just starting over with a new marketplace coming from like nothing and then is able like to attract like many customers and sellers and buyers. So is there no Amazon in Greece? No Temu? No whatever? Is there such a need?
No, actually, we do have this kind of competition as well, right? So basically, Temu, Shane, you know, all of this Amazon as well in some kind of like ways. We have all this type of competition and as well another Greek player, which is quite dominant at this period in the Greek market. However, there is a need out there, especially in the Greek market, for kind of like, you know, like more players that can offer, I would say, differentiated experiences for the Greek consumer. We are focusing a lot on building kind of like trust and with the Greek consumer, and also we're trying to bring in the market some kind of innovation with some kind of latest products that we're gonna kind of like get live in the next few months. So we're trying kind of like to, as I would say, you know, like find our place in the market, but definitely there is room to grow for us.
Are like the Chinese marketplaces already a thing in Greek with Shein and Temu and AliExpress? Are they like investing money in this market?
Well, they just started investing serious kind of like funds in the Greek market, especially Temu as an example. So they are becoming a thing. You know, they were there in terms of kind of like brand exposure. But right now, the intel I would say we have is that they're starting investing in kind of like people and resources as well. So yeah, they are coming strong. But, you know, as I said, we do believe that there is kind of like place in the market for everybody.
And I did a lot of marketplace research in the German speaking markets. And, usually when we analyzed Amazon, you usually come up with like three pillars, which is, the availability of the products there, the variety of the products and the price. These were like the main three pillars where we all believed, okay, if you want to compete with an Amazon kind of setup, you have to be better in all of those three pillars. And then on top, you can come with trust, sustainability, local stuff. And then 2 years ago, Temu entered the market and they took away availability. They said, okay, you can save up to 50% of the price, but you have to wait like 10 days. And as experts, we all would have said, nah, not possible. The people wants to have the product fast and like tomorrow, same day, same hour. But people said, no, we want like 10% discount is enough and we're going to wait like 2 weeks, which was surprising for the whole industry. And obviously kind of questions the investments the industry took in OPEX wise in fast delivery capabilities. How does it look like in Greece? What are customers in Greece are looking for?
That's a good question, but I would differentiate the answer in like kind of the following things, right? So there is a specific set of products that, you know, consumers in Greece, at least, are price sensitive. So again, giving them like a 10% discount or any kind of like promo on this, you know, they might kind of like go for it even if they have to wait for the delivery. But I would say vast majority of the consumers we are targeting, at least, you know, they're kind of like focusing on the three pillars, as you said. And if I may add one more, is basically the customer experience that they have, which comes basically on after sales, returns, replacements, and so on and so forth. So basically, I think there is kind of like a very clear positioning of Temu and similar kind of like marketplaces versus Shopflix and other marketplaces in Greece.
And usually one of the main challenges starting a new marketplace is that it's very hard like to balance offer and demand. So if you have no demand, then it's very hard to attract like new sellers, and it takes a while until like demand is kicking up with offering is like getting up. So
that's true.
And you've mentioned some impressive numbers. So how are you managing this conflict?
Well, again, I have to say that we are experiencing this kind of challenge, right? And we're trying to kind of like build our numbers as we go. Again, having a partner like Spryker, so we can actually scale very fast. So for us, you know, this has helped us significantly. And at the same time, we are investing heavily, right? So it's, you know, we can discuss about the path to profitability about these type of businesses. But right now, we're investing heavily in overcoming these challenges. So bringing in new sellers, attracting more consumers with our offering, and so on and so forth. So again, we are in the phase of scaling up the business right now, which requires heavy investment on the background. However, we have a very clear path to profitability in the next years, and we're thinking that we're going to achieve it.
How do you attract new customers? How do customers find you? It's like it's a truly digital experience. So is it kind of the old ways of e-commerce? Like do you have to spend like money on Google or Facebook? Is it more like an offline experience where you like set up pop-up shops? Actually, a strategy that worked well for Shein in some markets. So how does it work for you?
So for us, it's it's actually quite funny. Very quick story is basically we started in the first 3 years and we heavily invested in above the line communication, like TV and so on and so forth, which kind of like, again, in my eyes, didn't perform as we wanted to. So ever since kind of like, I would say January this year, we have diverted this kind of spending on the digital side, which is kind of like on performance marketing with kind of like all the types that we can spend on. And also, we have heavily invested on digital branding. So we're trying to build a digital presence on the organic side as well, in order to boost our numbers. So I would say like 95% of our spending right now goes on digital, and 5% goes on anything else, which could be out of home advertising, above the line advertising, and so on and so forth.
When like 10 years ago, Amazon was still kind of a new thing here in Germany. There was a conference I attended, and somebody from Amazon was allowed to speak. Now these days, nobody is from Amazon is speaking anymore. It's like a listed company. And from the audience, there was like a question, which I remember still today, which is like, okay, I don't know what this role was. I think he was like head of marketplace innovations. And the audience member asked, okay, what's your conversion rate? And then he said, eventually 100%. So, which I think like, look, I think it's true, because if you like become like the one true place for the products, and people might in like the first like journey, look at your website, look at some reviews and but eventually they're coming back and buy, which obviously makes the marketplace business model so attractive. Like to me, that's why we are promoting it so much, like even for other Spryker customers, because then you're kind of escaping this, the SEO, SEA, Facebook hustle, like spending again and again and again for the customers. So I know you're rather fresh, but how sticky are your cohorts? The ones you were winning for the marketplace, how often do they come back?
Excellent question. And I'll be honest, because we said we'll be honest on the podcast, right? So right now we're not, we don't have basically very sticky customers, as you would say. So repeatability is a challenge we're trying to overcome. On average right now, our kind of like consumer buys, I would say, 2 times a year from us, which is something we want to grow basically up to 5 or 6. There are certain ways we're planning to do it, not only basically with investing on the digital side, but with loyalty programs as well, which we're planning to bring to life. But yeah, this is actually, I would say, the main challenge a marketplace has, kind of like boosting repeatability and customer lifetime value.
And what we see now with the Chinese platforms coming into the European market is a very different way of customer acquisition, not by focusing on the conversion in the basket, but like focusing on activity, like a product, share a product, comment on a product. So the more you're spending on the more time you're spending on our platform, WeTMO, the more discounts you're getting, which is an interesting mind shift, I would say, because if you're like managing your whole like operations in that way, you're becoming kind of a media company, right? And then you're able like to sell the time customers are spending on the platform. It's obviously a bit different like in this mobile first world, but do you have an opinion on this? Could that be something where Shopflix will invest in the future?
It is something we're investigating right now. And it's actually, you're completely right. All these kind of like social interactions that basically, you know, like consumers have, we're trying to see how we can actually take advantage of these and monetize on them, right? So definitely it's a route we're looking into. And then this comes as an overall discussion as well with retail media and how you can take advantage of that. It's a new world. We're trying to adapt to this as well. So yeah, definitely yes.
Okay, that's cool. Because I believe that, like, I think last year at the SparkX side, I just like was quoted with one quote where I'm saying, okay, you're not making the money out of the product margin anymore. It's kind of the retail media margin that is like bringing you the business.
I'm a big believer in this. Yeah. Honestly, I'm a big believer in this. And actually, because we asked about the Greek market specifically, I think we are in its infancy on that side. So as I said, you know, there's another dominant player in the Greek market. So I think that, you know, we need to identify this kind of like pockets of edge, I would say, that we can tap into and start gaining a better share in the market as Shopflix. So okay, I think this is one of the pots, basically.
Okay, let's stay a bit on the Greek market. All the players are active already. So what is like the e-commerce market share in Greek? I know it's sometimes hard to figure out because it's like category by category. I think like consumer electronics, we are way beyond like 50% online market share in Germany. Accessories, most likely 80-90%, like cables, protection gear for your phone. What is it in Greece? Is it like a more traditional market yet, or is it already an online first market?
It's not an online first market right now. Okay. I think I would say it's more of a traditional market. It's getting there. So there have been significant steps towards an online market, but I think we are kind of like in this convergence between traditional and online. So we're not fully online yet. I think if you go into demographics as well, there is a justification behind it, but we're getting there. And I think we're going to be there by 2029, I would say.
What is a heavy online buyer? How many times would he buy online? Like in Germany, this definition like moved beyond like 100 purchases a year. And when I started looking at these numbers, like heavy online buyer, it was like 10 times a year. And 10 times is like, I think our family will do in a week, right? And now if you qualify for a heavy online shopper, you have like, you are beyond like 100 purchases a year. Across all platforms. Yeah. So what is it like in Greek?
I mean, again, to be honest, I mean, don't quote me on this on like actual specific numbers, but I would say basically anything above 30 or 40 would be kind of like a heavy online shopper. And again, as you said, platform agnostic, right? Because one of the things that has dominated basically the Greek market right now are the food delivery platforms.
Which ones?
We have right now eFood, Wolt as well, and some other which are kind of like smaller ones like Box and so on and so forth. But these actually are taking the first share of online ordering in general. So that's what boosts the numbers, I would say, on that sense. If you take this out, I mean, I would say that these numbers are dropped to half. 10, 15 kind of like purchases per year online would be what a heavy buyer would have.
And the sellers on your platform, where do they come from? Are they heavily relying on Greek infrastructure, like shipping from Greek, or it's also like
we're 100% Greek on that sense, basically. So all our sellers are in Greece. We're thinking of expanding as well in other territories, but still kind of like, again, it's 1 or 2 years away, in that sense. But yeah, our sellers right now are in the Greek market and they're shipping from the Greek market.
Ah, okay. And is this like an option for you? Because like this reminds me on the bol.com strategy, like the Netherlands marketplace, they also grew a lot with Dutch sellers, and it was all about like trust and quality. And this was also how they differentiated versus like an Amazon, where it's okay, you don't find Chinese, shit products on our platform because we are caring for our sellers. We are not selling ourselves. I think this is also like a differentiation, versus like an Amazon. So is this something, when you mentioned like your USPs, is this something where you say, okay, that's a USP versus like the other platform, Greek only, quality first?
I would say it is. I mean, it's part of our vision and our DNA. We want to boost the Greek market and basically being supportive in that sense, you know, like sourcing only from Greek sellers or having only Greek sellers on the platform. Really, we believe it makes a difference as well, for them. We want to be positioned as a partner with our sellers and boost kind of like their Greek presence and in economy in that sense. So I think, yeah, I think it is a USP. We're trying to do a lot of stuff, with our sellers and towards our sellers. And yeah, we're investing in that as well.
Here's a big discussion now in the German market and also leading to a discussion on the European level that marketplaces should be responsible for the products sold on the marketplace. And there was a reason why Amazon and others are so successful, because eventually they can push away the responsibility for like a non-allowed product, maybe consumer electronic product, towards like the seller, but the seller might sit like in China, and then the agencies cannot get access, which actually helped a lot of marketplaces to grow, and sparked the discussion about who should be responsible for that. So, and I understand both sides, because it's fairly easy to say if you don't have the Chinese sellers on your platform, yeah, they should be responsible. But how do you look at it? So how much of this platform responsibility is fair from your point of view?
That's an interesting question, to be honest, because right now in Greece, you know, we are not basically responsible, let's say, per se, on the products sold on the platform. But you know, if I may think as a consumer, I mean, you know, the first moment of truth comes basically when I go on and shop from Shopflix, right? So this is basically, the partner, I would say, in this shopping experience that I see first. So I understand the logic behind it. I don't have a very kind of like firm position on this, to be very honest, but, I do understand the voices behind this.
You know, it's like, I know it from a couple of like manufacturers in the consumer electronics, in the consumer product market that say, okay, we are always responsible for the products. And if there is something wrong when it comes to product regulation, then the agencies are coming to me and like they are enforcing it because they can enforce it, like with fines, prison threats, whatever. But you know, when it's like a Chinese or Vietnamese or whatever seller, they don't know how to reach them. Even if they reach them via the other platform, nothing will happen because jurisdiction is not there. And then it's easy for you to say, okay, Temu should be responsible for any product sold in Europe if it's not following like European regulations, because this eventually would lead to less Temu sold products.
That's true. So less competition in that sense. Yeah. So, I mean, I understand basically kind of like regulating this kind of presence. Again, as I said, these are very valid reasons. I mean, I would see that this might sound basically very firm and solid. So.
Okay. And is there like, other marketplaces in Europe you're looking at where you say, okay, this could be kind of an interesting role model for the Shopflix journey? It could be Aligo, could be marketplaces from Switzerland, could be bol.com from Netherlands. So you look at other marketplaces in Europe?
We do. One you might have heard about is Cogita, which is basically the B2B, kind of like a marketplace. So this sounds interesting as a business model, which we're looking into as well.
Where is it located?
It's basically European across, but basically the headquarters are in the Netherlands.
Okay.
So that's one marketplace we're looking into, right now in terms of business model, as I said. But apart from that, again, right now we're trying to grow ourselves within Greece, kind of like put our 2 feet on the floor and like grow solid, and then we'll see other marketplaces out there.
And then, can you explain or elaborate a bit like on the company structure? Because you're registered under Welcome, as a company name, but you're the marketplace is when you're like typing in the URL, it's like Shopflix.
Exactly.
So how is this working together?
No, this is basically kind of like the mother company basically is Welcome. So it's kind of like, registered in Cyprus, but basically the name of the marketplace is Shopflix. Along with basically Shopflix as well, which is one of the differentiators, we also are connected with Courier Center, which basically we have our own delivery services company. So we handle kind of like which Courier Center handles exclusively Shopflix as a delivery customer. So these two kind of like are together under the auspice of Welcome.
Okay, this leads to my last question. So let's go back to delivery. So the one thing where everybody was investing in the last couple of years, but now customers are saying, oh, I want cheaper products, not the faster delivery. How do you look at it? So do you think having a vertically integrated approach like JD.com, for example, in China, this could make a difference? Because I believe there are customers that definitely want to have like a fast delivery. They want to have like a closed experience. It's maybe not like 100% of the market, but maybe 20% of the market. And if you can serve 20% of the market best, so you own it, this kind of market. And the other 80% might shop elsewhere. So how do you look at this?
We are investing in a closed loop, let's say, system as well, right? So basically, I do believe that, you know, kind of like holding, being vertically integrated, might be the word basically in English, does kind of like bring a unique experience to the consumer as well, but also a differentiator versus other players in the Greek market at least. So we are investing in that front already. We are under this model basically, I would say. So, and we're going to kind of like investigate it further.
For the listeners that are not located in Greece, are they able to shop at Shopflix if they want to have a look now at the shop? And would you ship to Germany?
Unfortunately, no. We don't ship basically abroad right now. And one pain point is that our website is not in English, which is kind of like something, again, we're working on right now, because we do have a lot of kind of like foreigners in Greece, which, you know, Shopflix can make be sense. Kind of like a platform of choice. So we're working on the English version of the site as well right now.
Okay. So we are coming to the close of 2025. Looking forward to 2026. Is there something you would wish for Shopflix? What should happen? Like a big plan or something Spryker could provide then for you?
Oh, that's a good point. So basically, yeah, as I said, we're looking into kind of like expanding into another market at least. So I think that, you know, having the support of Spryker in terms of scaling up and basically how we can handle this additional volume would be kind of like crucial in the success of this plan. A couple of things as well is basically, you know, like we're kind of like have a extreme rate of growth right now. We kind of like tripled our growth versus basically last year, and we want to see that continuing basically to the 26 and 27. As I said, we have very clear path to profitability, and 2026 is a very crucial year for this to happen.
Okay, then let's go down to the Spryker Excite and let's discuss how we can help you with that.
Fantastic.
Thank you for
your time. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.